Again, it's a joy to be here tonight and see all of you folks. We praise the Lord for you coming back tonight. We know that the weather has kind of been looking rough this evening, or early afternoon, late afternoon, whenever. It's been looking rough, amen. And we're thank you for getting out on tonight and coming. Of course, that's nothing spectacular. We'd do it to go shopping or do a lot of other things, wouldn't we? So we certainly ought to do it for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it is good to see you. And I know that you had to put forth effort on a Friday night. As we said last night, many of you have been every night, and here you are back tonight. Praise the Lord for that. Some of you have been almost every night, and some of you just haven't been all that much, but you're here tonight, and we praise the Lord for that. And thank God that you came tonight, and appreciate all the young people for being here. We got some in the nursery tonight, and they've been acting like a baby, so we stuck them in the nursery. Amen. Now, that's, you know, we're joking, because if we did that, we'd have to do that with the adults, and we'd have to switch it around. That would be where we're having the service, and this would be the nursery. Amen. But it is good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I've enjoyed it. It's been a joy. And when I say a joy, I mean I'm talking about the fun time. Amen. And the time of where we got right down and just got serious and in each other's face with things. Amen. Just enjoyed it all. But I've really enjoyed the presence of God this week. I really feel like the Lord has been with us in every service. And I praise His holy name for that. We've been preaching against sin all week. I hope you've got the hint that we're against sin. Amen. We've been preaching about sin all week, trying to get us to the place that we realize there is victory in Jesus over sin. And we don't have to live in sin to enjoy the grace of God. As a matter of fact, you're not enjoying the grace of God if you live in sin. Amen. You're enjoying the grace of God when you realize that God loves us in spite of sin, and then we come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord, and we begin to walk with the Lord, not with the world. Amen. And then we find that joy that God offers us, and we see the grace that God gives us. Amen. Because even at the best we can do, the Bible says, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags in the sight of God. The very best that we can do in the flesh, my friend, is still just filthy rags in the sight of God. And so we praise the Lord for His grace tonight. Amen. So we've been talking about sin every night. God has just opened the door for us to do that. And tonight I want us to talk about joy. Because I got to thinking this afternoon, I'm studying and just sitting there kind of meditating a little while. Not taking a nap, but meditating. And just thinking about the messages that God has given us this week and how that He's worked in my life this week. He's done a work in this old preacher's life. Amen. And I love Him for it. And I got to thinking about that, and I just thought, you know, this is great. I mean, as you get closer to the Lord, and you get closer to the Lord, and you get closer to the Lord, the closer you get, the more joy you have. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about shouting and running the aisles and all of that, although sometimes that wouldn't hurt us. It'd do some good. Amen. It kind of helped loosen up the old bones in some of us. We hadn't done any shouting in a while. But I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about the joy that we have in the Lord. I'm talking about real joy that sometimes you're there and you get to thinking about the goodness of God, and all of a sudden that old heart starts bubbling and it starts running over, and it ends up coming out the tear ducts. Amen. And they're not tears of sadness and sorrow and oh, woe is me, but they're tears of gladness and joy. And we praise the Lord. Every once in a while, you may be all alone, or there may be somebody else around and they may not even know what's going on, but boy, a song just breaks out in your heart. Huh? You ever do that? Well, I tell you, that's good times. And that's when you're enjoying the goodness of God. That's when that joy is bubbling over. Sometimes you begin to think about God and His goodness and mercy, and a smile comes on your face. And folks wonder, what's going on with you? What are you up to? And all it is the goodness of God just floods your soul, and that joy is bubbling there. Well, we look in 1 Peter tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. We was looking today at all the scriptures in the Bible, and I did not cover all of them, but I looked at a whole lot of them, and the Bible is full of joy. I'm serious. You ought to go home. You ought to start doing a Bible study on the word joy, just looking at all the verses that are in the Bible about joy. In the book of Psalms, there's many, many, many scriptures concerning joy. And a lot of times it has to do with shouting. In the book of Psalms, it does. I know y'all think this old boy's just from Alabama and we just do things kind of weird, but actually we do try to do things scriptural. Amen. And so you begin to read your Bible, but there's joy from the beginning through the end. As a matter of fact, I think we'll be covering a verse that even tells us about joy that's after the end. Whew. Just about got baptized. Amen. But joy, 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 joy in the scriptures. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more joyful you become. Amen. I mean, it'll take an old sourpuss, my friend, and put a smile on your face and make you happy. Amen. Joy, joy. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, if you'll stand with us, we'll read the one verse tonight and get started in the scriptures. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen, now this whom is Jesus Christ. All you got to do is look back to the last two words in the previous verse, and it says Jesus Christ. He's talking about the appearing of Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, we've not seen Jesus. Amen. We've not seen him, not with the physical eye. By faith, we might have seen him, but we have not seen. We have not laid eyes on Jesus. That's what he's talking about. But we love him, don't we? Amen. We love him. Praise the Lord for Jesus Christ tonight, in whom we love very much. Amen. And he's talking about him and says, though now you see him not, we still don't see him among us, do we? Yet, he says, believing, and we do believe. Amen? We do believe. What do we believe? Well, we believe that he's coming back one of these days, and we're going to see him. Amen? Our faith is going to be turned into sight. All that we believed about Jesus, my friend, all of a sudden is going to become a reality. Now, I know in our hearts it's already a reality, but what I'm saying, my friend, I mean, now we believe, and we have that, as the Bible says, that blessed hope in our heart. Not a hope that he's real, but a know that he's real, amen? But one day we're going to see him, and that old heart is going to, it's going to really pound away, amen? I mean, we're going to be so excited when we see Jesus. I just know we are. When I look in the Bible at folks that had visions of God and all, the Bible says some of them would fall at his feet as though they were one dead. I believe it says that about John, doesn't it? And Isaiah, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, my friend. And well, I tell you, folks, I got a feeling when we see him, we're going to shout the victory. Amen? Praise the Lord. I mean, we know it's real, but on that day, we're going to say, it's really real. Praise God. That joy is just going to overtake us. And the Bible calls it a joy unspeakable. Not a joy that we're not supposed to speak of, but it's just a joy that words cannot explain. Amen? It's unspeakable. You just, boy, sometimes you don't even have to speak the word joy. You just bubble with it. Amen? I mean, you sit there sometimes. I don't know about you, but sometimes, boy, the joy gets to bubbling so much in my heart and in my soul, I got to move. Amen. I just have to move. I've been in services where maybe a song was being sung or preaching was being done, and boy, that joy begins to bubble up, and I don't mean to be a distraction, but I've just got to move. I just got to, whoa, why? Because that joy is unspeakable and full of glory, and it's beginning. I mean, listen to me. This thing's bigger than me and you. Amen. And so we want to talk about this joy tonight. Father, we love you. Lord, we love you so much. God, I know sometimes it doesn't show, but we still love you anyway, Lord. But I'm glad, Lord, your love for us and toward us always shows. And Father, we just praise your holy name and thank you, dear God, for the joy that has been set before us. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're concerned with us having joy. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts once again. Lord, that you'd deal with us. I pray if there's someone here tonight that is lost, that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, this would be the night, Lord, that you speak to them in such a way, Lord, that they will listen to you and obey you and receive you as the Lord and Savior of their life. I pray tonight, Lord, that once again you'd help us Christians to draw a little closer. I pray this joy tonight would begin to bubble in our souls, Lord, and we'd realize this is a good thing, and we'd enjoy the joy of the Lord. I pray, God, that you'd have your will and way in our midst tonight. Lord, there's still folks needing help tonight. God, I'm glad you're the God of help tonight. Help us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Joy. Think about sin. The more we say no to sin, the more joy comes into our hearts. Now, you may not realize that. I got a feeling some of you tonight, if you stop and think about it, maybe Sunday or Monday, maybe even Tuesday of this week, as you came to church, there was not a whole lot of joy. And all of a sudden now tonight you realize, well, you know, I'm really enjoying this. Amen. I came because, well, we're having a revival. I'm part of the church and I know I need to be here. And so I've been coming. But tonight you come and you say, man, I wanted to be here. I want to come. I'm just so full of joy. It's just so good to be in the Lord's house. Well, the reason is, folks, listen, because we've been moving away from sin and moving closer to our Lord and Savior. Amen. And now some of you tonight, you're like that little Pillsbury Doughboy. You remember the commercial on TV? I mean, if the Holy Ghost just punches you just right, you're going to say, woo. Amen. I mean, you just got joy in your heart. Amen. I don't know. That may be a crude way of putting it, but I think y'all got it, amen? So I hope God does that tonight to some of us. You say, well, that's silly and that's ridiculous. And sitting there like a bump on a log is not. I think that's kind of ridiculous for us to sit around with an old pouty-looking face, just sit there enduring the service. Now, that's a little bit ridiculous. For someone to come to church and to be saved and to be right with God, and even if they do, my friend, I think that's a little more in order, to be honest with you, than sitting there like, oh, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I was out yonder somewhere right now and the ambulance was picking me up. Amen. What we notice in the scriptures, we're going to turn to several scriptures tonight in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. There is joy in the scriptures. As I've already said, throughout the Bible talks about joy, joy. God wants a happy people. God wants his people. He is a father. Amen. He is, if we're saved, he's our heavenly father. You know what? Now, I don't mean to be sacrilegious or anything, but you know what dads want? They want their children to be happy. Fathers really want their children to be happy. Amen. Isn't that right, men? Moms want their children to be happy. Listen, we put so much emphasis on the amount of money we make, the kind of job we have, and all these other things, my friend. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes boiling down to the very, very final bit, my friend, the truth is, the most important thing is that our children end up being happy. Amen. It doesn't matter when it comes down to it, whether they make $100,000 or $10,000 a year. It really doesn't if they're happy. Amen. Isn't that more important than say, well, we make close to $200,000 a year. And they grumble, gripe, fussing, and fighting all the time. They're so unhappy. What good is that? Then you see this couple over here. And I might as well go ahead and say it. And she's staying home taking care of the kids. and the man is doing the best he can to make a living for them, and they're just happy in the Lord. Kids are happy. Amen. And they may not make $25,000 a year, and they're just happy as they can be. Which of those groups of people would you rather have as your children? I'd rather have the ones that are happy. Amen. Big deal about the money. What does it matter when death comes? What does it matter? My friend, when you're there viewing the face of that loved one, my friend, and looking at them, and what does it matter how much money you've made or they've made? What counts is whether you had a happy life with them. Amen. That's what counts. In the Scriptures, we find this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We perceive that joy is a duty. Look there in Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Isn't that what your Bible says? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says. And again, I say, rejoice. So it's a duty. God tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Now, we got to understand this. He didn't just say rejoice. He said rejoice in the Lord. You see, I found this out, folks. This is very true. I found it out personally. That sometimes life is just not the quality you'd like for it to be. And there's nothing to rejoice about. Talking about life. Sometimes there's nothing. Bad things have been happening. And looks like bad things are going to keep happening. There's nothing to rejoice about. But the Bible doesn't say rejoice in those things. It says rejoice in the Lord. I have found out personally in my own life that even when life, and I've said this so many times, but life at its very best stinks. Amen. But I found out even when it stinks the worst that you can still find something in the Lord to rejoice about. Amen. I mean, there's always the goodness of God in every situation, no matter how bad it seems. God is still good. We say God is good all the time. Amen. We say that, but usually it's just words. But the fact is, it's truth. God is good. Even when life is stinks and things are going bad and things are rough and things are not going my way, all I got to do is look to God, and I'll promise you this, you'll always have something to rejoice in the Lord about. I do know this. I can always look at it this way. Praise God, it's going to get better. The Bible says so many times in the Scriptures when things are happening in a bad way, and this too shall pass. Amen. So I've got God's promise that it's going to get better in the sweet by and by. Amen. God tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Now the problem is, folks, we got to go back to the messages we've been preaching. The problem is we get involved in sin and too involved in sin. And my friend, there's no joy. You can't see the goodness of God. It's kind of foggy. Sin will fog the goodness of God to where you can't recognize how good God is. Amen? I mean, somebody will be saying, boy, God sure is good. And others will be saying, boy, you're some kind of nut. Look what all's going on. Yeah, it may be easy for you to say that, but it's sure not for me. Listen to me. And then when you get your heart right with God and you draw close to God and you say no to sin and you say yes to the Lord and you say no to sin and you say yes to the Lord and you keep doing that, my friend, then you realize, well, God sure is good. Circumstances may have not changed one bit. Do you realize in the Bible how many times folks were going through a bad situation and they begin to praise the Lord? Circumstances had not changed at all. They just remember Paul and Silas in jail at midnight. They'd been beaten. They'd been thrown in the inner prison. And there at midnight, nothing had changed. They're still in prison. They have still went through that beating, my friend. They're still there, but they begin to praise the Lord and they begin to worship God and have a service, a literal service there in the jail cell. And then there came that earthquake. Amen. They already were recognizing that God was good. My friend, but so many times we allow the sin in our life to fog over the goodness of God to where we just don't see it. Oh, my friend, listen, it's our duty to just go ahead and praise the Lord. I mean, when it doesn't look like God's doing anything in your life, just go ahead and praise Him anyway. Why? Because He is doing something. He's always doing something. Not only do we perceive that joy is a duty, but my friend, we learn the secret of true joy. Look with me in 1 John. Look with me over there in 1 John, chapter number 1, beginning with verse number 3. True joy. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now notice what it's saying in the last part of that verse. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the joy or the secret of true joy. What is? Having fellowship. Listen to me. I love to fellowship with you folks. I enjoy it. Boy, we take that time out in the song service, and Brother Danny says, let's just go around and fellowship. And we go around. I get caught up in it. Very seldom am I back over here to the seat when it's time to start singing. I'm off somewhere and doing exactly what he says, and then he makes me feel bad. He says, go fellowship. And he say, just go fellowship, just don't enjoy it. Amen. But I get off and I get to shaking hands, and then there's someone else, and you got to make a comment or two, you know. And when you make a comment or two, they're going to make a comment or two. And so this thing is going on. That's called fellowship. I enjoy it. I don't like it when you folks are sick because you do that thing. You know, stay back. They won't shake hands with you. They don't even want to talk to you. I just want to say, well, hurry up and go ahead and die and get out of the way, okay? So the rest of us can fellowship, amen. But it's called fellowship. I enjoy that. Now listen, you got to understand where I'm coming from, and I believe you came from the same place. When I was lost, I did not enjoy that fellowship. Now, not this kind of fellowship. My fellowship was surrounded with lost people cussing and doing bad things, which is not really fellowship. But when God saved me, He gave me fellowship with the brethren. I like to talk with you folks. I don't understand what you say, but I like to talk with you. I like it when you get your heart in it. Amen. I enjoy fellowshipping with y'all. I enjoy fellowshipping with your pastor. He's an easy man to fellowship with. Amen. He really is. His wife ain't much, but he... I don't even know that I'm supposed to get along with her anyway. He has to. God didn't tell me I had to. Amen. But I enjoy that fellowship with Him. But listen to me. I really enjoy fellowshipping with God. Do you ever have fellowship just between you and God? Where you just talk to Him. And He's not the man upstairs. He's God. Okay? He's not the old man. He's God. Let's be respectful for who He is. But at the same time, folks, I can talk with Him. I can fellowship with Him. I can tell Him those inner parts of my heart, everything that's there, all that's on my heart. I can tell Him when I'm having a problem with someone in the fellowship with Him. And He never blabs it to them or anyone else. He never puts it on Facebook. Amen. You know, the Bible says casting all our care upon Him. He didn't say a thing about posting your cares. Amen. He said casting all your... I'll be honest with you. Some of you got some real doozies of friends on Facebook. You say, well, what about you? I don't know nothing about Facebook. All I know about Facebook is what y'all tell me, and it ain't good. I don't understand it. I'll be honest with you. But from what you tell me about Facebook, I had rather have one or two of my friends that I have to call and talk with and tell them to pray than have 100 of your friends praying for my situation. Amen. And as you notice, I'm not getting paid for these advertisements. Amen. I'm just saying, folks, listen to me. I like that fellowship with God. I can talk with Him, and I can tell Him everything that's on my heart. I mean, I can just unload on Him. Amen? And share with Him everything. I can fellowship. Or, listen, it's not all that. I can also talk to Him and tell Him that I love Him. And I don't have to worry about when I say, "Dear Lord, I sure do love you." I don't have to worry about Him saying, "Oh, come on, now don't talk like that." You know why? He likes to hear that. He likes to hear His children say, "Father, I love you." Amen. He likes to hear from you every once in a while. Not just, "Oh, Lord, I need," but every once in a while just say, "Lord, I sure do love you. Thank you, dear God, for... Thank you, Lord, for visiting with me in the services this week. I know you were in the service, but thank you for visiting with me in the service." Make it personal. Amen. We need to have that fellowship. The Bible says here in 1 John and chapter number 3, again, he says in the last part, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." My friend, listen to me. This is the secret of true joy, is to have fellowship. Now let me go a little farther and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Verse 4. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You have full joy. You're full of joy. It has reached its max when you fellowship with the Father and the Son. Amen. I mean, when you get off with God sometimes and just sit there and you just talk with the Lord and say, "God, I've sure enjoyed this week. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for convicting me." You ever thank God for convicting? Man, I'm going to tell you something I learned. That's a good way to let God know how much you really love Him. It's when you thank Him. "God, thank you for convicting me, Lord, and showing me that I was wrong here and I was wrong there. Lord, thank you so much for convicting me." Amen. That's sweet fellowship. When we talk with our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And just fellowship. Amen. I mean, that is true, my friend, true joy is when we get to that place. You see, some of you started coming this week, Sunday or Monday or whenever it was, and you could not fellowship with the Lord. Saved? Yes. But the fellowship had been broken. Why? Because of sin. And this week, you've gotten close to the Lord. You've gotten forgiveness of that sin. You know what's been restored? That fellowship. I know what you're saying, joy. Yeah, but it's the fellowship that brought about joy. That's the reason we rejoice in the Lord, because we've got sweet fellowship with Him. Amen. Praise God. Now, listen, some of you need to calm down. Amen. You're about to just break loose here in the service. Amen. But I'm telling you, this is good stuff when you begin to realize, praise God, look what the Lord has done. It's not what I've done. Look what God has done. I just came as a sinner, presented myself as a sinner to the Savior, and He's restored the fellowship. Nothing I've done. It's all what He's done. Amen. Well, look in with me. We can go ahead. Let's go ahead and read a few more verses. Verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie." Look what he says. See, I said some of you had no fellowship with the Lord and you wanted to sit there and argue with me. But the Bible says you had no fellowship with Him because you was walking in darkness, and you have no fellowship with Him when you walk in darkness. What is walking in darkness? Does that mean you walk after the sun goes down outside? No, it means that you're walking in sin. That's the darkness. Amen. Some of you, you came in here again Sunday or Monday, Tuesday, whenever it was. You came in and you had been walking in darkness. You had been fellowshipping with the works of darkness, the darkness of the world. You'd been walking in that fellowship, not in fellowship with the Lord. My friend, what happened? You begin to come and listen to God, and as God spoke, man, I mean, this week has been tremendous. The folks that you've come to the altar, it's not been a begging and a pleading and almost having to go get you and drag you up here. It's just start the invitation. You've been coming and praying. You know what's been happening? Listen to me. You've been coming and getting close to the Lord, walking away from your sin. What you've been doing is coming out away from the darkness and into the light. More and more and more, and the more you get in the light, the more sin you see in your life. Now that's good, because the more you see, the more you get out. Amen. Search me, O Lord, and see if there be any iniquities or any sin in my life. That happens when we begin to get in the light and we realize this is a good thing. And the more we get in the light, the more we have fellowship with Him. I mean, when you first came, the first time you came in this week and you came to the altar and you prayed, it was almost like you wanted to, but you didn't want to. Huh? And then after you did it a time or two, some of you been like you've been here every service, you've been in the altar every service. You old sinner, you. Amen. That's where we ought to be, isn't it? That's where we need to be. And you've just kept coming to the altar, and each night, you know what? It's gotten easier on you. Each night you look forward not only to the message, but to the invitation to come and get a little closer to Jesus. Amen. After a while, I see you coming down the aisle. Boy, at first it's like this. You come down now. Here it is, the end of the week. Some of you have been visiting the altar every night. Now you come down like this right here. You're glad. Amen. You're glad. Praise the Lord. This is a good thing. Hey, I can't hardly wait. I've been expecting some of you to just get up while I was preaching and come. That'd be all right. It wouldn't bother me none. Amen. Liable to preach a little longer, but it wouldn't bother me. Verse number 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise. This is good. Amen. This is good. Praise the Lord. This is better than crunchy peanut butter. Amen. I mean, it just gets gooder and gooder. Praise the Lord. I mean that, folks. Now, you just have to forgive me. I'm from Alabama. We speak like that. Amen. But listen, not only do we learn the true secrets of the secret of true joy. We won't turn there, but we look over in the book of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse number 1, go through 11. It's talking about abiding in Him. And as we abide in Him, we are supposed to do that our joy might be full. Amen. I told you the Scriptures is full of joy. And God wants us to be full of joy. Amen. So in order for us to be full of joy, we got to have that is full of joy in us. And that is the Scriptures. Amen. But boy, I'm telling you, if we'll abide in Him, what's it talking about? Just what we've already said. Staying away from sin and getting closer to Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a good thing. I don't know why us Christians hadn't caught on to it earlier. I'm serious, folks. We act like it's an awful thing to live for the Lord. I mean, it's like, well, not only do folks make fun of us, but God don't even want it. Oh, no, we're wrong. The world will make fun of us, but God longs for our fellowship. Just as much as you want to fellowship with Him, just as much as you want to walk with Him, just as much as you want to be close to Him, He wants the same thing with us. Amen. And it's just wonderful to walk with the Lord and to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that what we did when we got saved? Wasn't that a wonderful occasion? Well, it can still be the same thing. Listen to me. We don't have to get over salvation. Yeah, hallelujah. We don't have to get over salvation. Some of us have gotten over it. This is still a good thing. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But listen, not only that, but we are taught the great value of joy. In Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 10, the Bible says, Nehemiah 8 and 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean the great value of joy? Joy is to the soul what the wings are to a bird. You say, what? Yeah, joy in the soul of a Christian helps us to soar above the problems of life. Amen. Amen. I mean, the problems are still there. But boy, we just have a time. Amen. We can have a time in the midst of our disasters, in the midst of turmoil in our life, the afflictions of life, whatever we might call it, the circumstances, whatever. My friend, listen, we say it like that, boy, I'm having a tough time. But under the circumstances, I guess that's the way it ought to be. God's people are never to be under the circumstances. We're to be flying high above the circumstances. Why? Because of the joy of the Lord that we have. Amen. God's going to take care of all of this, and so what? I only got one hand. Praise the Lord. One of these days I'm going to heaven, and when I get there, I'll have two. Now, that's the same way it is with your situation. I don't know what it is that you're afflicted with or without, my friend, but the fact is, hey, if you're saved, one of these days, whatever that affliction is going to be left behind, you're going to be yonder in glory land. Praise the Lord. That's the reason it's so wonderful, my friend, that we rejoice in the Lord. Look with me right quick in John chapter 16 and verse 22. The Bible says there in John 16 and 22, it doesn't went too far to the Acts. I'll get there. John 16 and 22. The Bible says, and Jesus is speaking about him being taken away, and he says now in verse 22, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. Look what a promise he's made. Now you have sorrow. He's telling them, I'm going to be taken from you. And he knows that now their hearts are made heavy. They're sorrowing because Jesus is going to be taken from him. He's about to ascend and be crucified and then to ascend into heaven. But he says, but I will see you again. Praise God. Isn't that great? Amen. And your heart shall rejoice. And your joy, look what he says, in your joy, no man taketh away from you or taketh from you. No man. You tell me joy is not important. God says this. He's made us a promise. I'm going to give you, Brother Randy, something that no man can take away. Now, we think salvation is great, and it is, praise the Lord. But it's not the only thing that he gives us that's eternal. Joy. That's what he said. He's making a big deal out of this, my friend. What's he saying? He said, I want you to walk with me. I want you to fellowship with me. And when you do that, we'll have this great fellowship that produces joy. Amen. And nobody, listen to me, nobody. Paul and Silas are in jail at midnight. What are they doing? They're singing and praying. You know what that's called? Fellowship. They're fellowshipping with the Lord. The people, the magistrates of that city, had their clothes ripped off of them. They beat them, my friend, and then they threw them into prison, and they charged the jailer to keep them. But all of this and all these people, none of them could take what Paul and Silas had away. What was that? It was that joy that brought fellowship, or the fellowship that brought joy. As they were there in jail, in spite of what was going on, and listen, in spite of the bad news from the doctor, you've got terminal cancer, they were still rejoicing in the Lord. In spite of the bad news, you've got a real bad case of diabetes, or the stage of diabetes is in, it's very bad. They still rejoiced. Amen. Same thing. Amen. No matter what the news is you got, my friend, listen to me. Paul and Silas were given that bad news. They were beaten and thrown in jail. But no one took their joy from them. They still had that joy. That's the reason the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You see, if they'd have got down there grumbling and griping and maybe even cussing and listening to the other jailer or the other prisoners down there as they tell their filthy jokes and all of this stuff that goes on in the prisons, if they got involved in all of that, you know what? They would have lost their joy. That fellowship between them and God would have been broken. Probably the earthquake would have never come and set them free. that had never been able to lead the jailer to the Lord. Why? How could they lead him to the Lord if they was accustomed and telling filthy jokes and doing all the things that all the other prisoners were doing? You see, they maintained that joy, that fellowship between them and Christ. And when the time came, they were able to lead the jailer and Miss Jailer and the little jailees all to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't this wonderful, folks? You know what? We can do the same thing. I mean, whether we're members of Blackstone Valley Baptist Church, I know we got some visitors here, but we can all do the same thing. We can have that sweet fellowship that produces that full joy, amen, that helps us, my friend, to stand the test of time and let folks look at us, and then when we speak about Jesus, they will pay attention. Our problem is we say, no, Brother Danny, I've tried it. They don't. No, 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 no. Your problem was you did try it, but you didn't do it. A lot of folks are trying. You know what that tells me? They're trying. That means they had no intentions of doing it anyway. They just give it a try. Amen. If you're going to try it, you know what? Listen to me. If you ever, someone said they fixed something to eat, and they say, here, try some. And when you take a bite, you quit trying and you've done it. I don't care if it makes you sick. You quit trying and you've done it. Amen? That's the way it is with the Lord. We need to quit trying the Lord. Just live for Him. Just go ahead and live for Him. And if it tastes bad, just go ahead and live for Him anyway. Amen? And then you'll find out after a little while it changes from bad to good. Amen. Living for the Lord really pays, folks. It really pays in this life, not just in eternity, but in this life. The dividends that God gives to those that say no to sin and yes to Him. Oh my, it's worth all the heartaches that we might get from the world, all the laughter, all the poking fun of. My friend, it's worth every bit of it just to live for Jesus. Amen. So we find the secrets out of living for the Lord, my friend. In chapter 17 of John, in verse 13, Jesus is praying to the Father. We call it the prayer of intercession as He prays for us. And He is praying for us there in chapter 17. In verse 13, He says this in His prayer. And now come I to thee, talking to the Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. God wants you, listen to me, the devil wants to offer you sin that robs you of the joy of the Lord. God wants to offer you joy that you might have fruit that will abound. What are you saying? He wants you to be a joyful people, and then He wants you to help others be joyful. Amen. I know sometimes I get carried away in preaching and I get goofy and say silly things, you know, and folks, I'm sure some folks says, well, all right, he's a comedian. He, you know, well, I figure I'd rather make you laugh every once in a while than to bore you to death. Amen. Folks, listen, I believe in joy. I believe that joy is more than just saying. I'm a joyful person. Oh, I just want y'all to know that. I'm full of joy. I just want you to know that. I'd rather say something kind of funny, let you know I have joy. Amen. Even when I'm preaching a message, I still have joy. As a matter of fact, sometimes that's when I have my most fun, when I'm preaching. Amen. That's the reason I like to preach so much, praise God. There's joy in serving the Lord. It's not a boring time. It's not a sad time or a bad time. There's joy in serving the Lord. Now we find that joy comes by believing. Romans chapter number 15 and verse 13. Now this is what we've been trying to get across all this week. If we'll believe the Lord and ask God to forgive us of the sins we've committed, believing Him, my friend, and walking away from those sins and turning to Him, my friend, believing Him, amen. You know what God will do? He'll give us joy. There in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing. Amen. He will fill us with peace and joy in believing. As we believe Him, hey, folks, I realize something. I don't have to sin to enjoy living. The devil has got us believing. I mean, the commercials on TV, if you watch TV, and I hope you don't, but if you do, my friend, the commercials on TV, they make us think that you got to sin. That's our young people are getting the idea from TV that you got to sin in order to have fun. All the beer commercials and everything on there is geared to where if you don't drink beer, there's something bad wrong with you. I found out something. Those folks that do drink it, there's something bad wrong with them. All you got to do is hang around them a little while and it'll show up. Amen. Praise God. We don't need... Christians have never needed the world to have a good time. And we still don't. Even in 2015, we still do not need the world to have a good time. Amen. Sometimes I'm around folks and they're talking, and I have no idea. I mean, I'm listening and I hear words, but I don't have no idea what they're talking about. You say, Brother Danny, because you're too old-fashioned. Hallelujah. I'm serious, man. I've tried to watch some of these so-called comedies on TV, comedy shows. I don't know what they're talking about. And they make a remark, and the audience out there, you know, as they're feminine, they're all just a laugh. And like, that's so funny. And I'm thinking, that was stupid. Huh? I don't even know. And usually their remarks are terrible remarks. They're filthy remarks. And everybody's just laughing. And I'm thinking, man, that's a shame. They think you got to say all those nasty words and do all those nasty things in order to be funny. No, you don't. You don't have to do any of those things to be funny. Amen. I tell you, you don't have to do any of those things to enjoy life. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus, my friend. Just put Him first in your life. You'll find out what having a good time is all about. Amen. I'm talking about walking away from sin and walking with Him. Away from the darkness and walking in the light. Amen. You can have a ball. I'm serious. Man, you can have the time of your life. That's the reason I enjoy the Christian life, because 19 years I spent in the world. And they were not fun years. I thought I was having a fun time. You say, well, how do you know you wasn't? Because now I'm having a ball. I know the difference. I'm not that dumb. I'm just telling you, folks, listen to me. Living for Jesus really pays. Praise God. We find that joy comes by believing. Then we also find in the Scriptures we're taught to maintain our joy. We got to work at keeping our joy. Now, not our salvation. Do not get this confused. You do not have to work at keeping your salvation. You didn't work to get it. You can't work to keep it. It was a gift when it was given to you. It still remains a gift. The Bible calls it the gift of God. It didn't say it was, and it ain't no longer, but it is the gift of God. As a matter of fact, we're going to use the Scripture in a minute over the book of Psalms chapter 51 where Paul says, restore unto me the joy. And he didn't say of my salvation. He said of thy salvation. Why? It's a gift from God to us. It's still His, but it's ours. He didn't loan it to us. He gave it to us. It's mine. Hallelujah. It's mine. But it's still His. I'm glad He's still hanging on to one side of this thing called salvation. Amen. You know why? Because it's in Him. And He keeps me saved. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're to maintain our joy. Again, as we say in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 12. David, listen to me. This is a fine example of what we've been preaching all week. David has gotten involved in sin. He's over here in darkness. Amen. The man that really, truly, honestly had a heart for God. He loved God. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. He sought the Lord. But now we find that he has gotten into sin. You say, I believe I know what sin. It don't matter what sin it was sin. Just like you and I, we think that there's different categories of sin. No, they're not. Sin is sin. And David got messed up in sin. He's walking in darkness. And sometime later, he doesn't just automatically say, oh my, look what I've done. I've messed up. But sometime later, when the man of God comes along and begins to preach to him personally, amen, and gives him the message God wants him to give to him. And as he does, David, it's revealed to David that he is seeing. Now, he's known all along, but he's been in denial. You'll know when you sin. Amen. But all of a sudden, David says, he gets with God, and he begins to repent. He says, Lord, he realizes he's lost that joy. What do you mean, the joy? You say, well, that's what you've been preaching on, the fellowship. He's lost that. That fellowship has been broken with God. You can pretend to everybody else around that everything between you and God's all right, but God knows when things are not all right with you and him. Amen. And so David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. This was an important thing to David, to have this joy. Why? Because he knew it meant the fellowship. Amen. So he prayed and asked God to restore that joy unto him. My friend, listen to me. David is the one that lost that joy. David is the one that surrendered that joy. David is the one now that's coming back saying, I must maintain it by coming back to God and asking him to forgive me. Not to re-save me. There's no such thing. Amen. But to restore that joy, for he has lost the joy. Still saved. Still God's chosen. Amen. I mean, nothing had changed in that sense. But my friend, the truth was, though he was still God's child, there was no joy there. Amen. I'm telling you, the scriptures teach us to maintain our joy. 1 John 1:9, we've used it all week. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. What is that? That's us maintaining. That's over there, following those scriptures we read a while ago in 1 John when we started with verse 3 and went through about verse number 7, I believe it was. My friend, if you continue on to verse 9, that's where we are right here. The joy is gone. The joy is gone, my friend. The fellowship has been broken, and we must maintain that. We come to the Lord and we ask him to forgive us. Amen. It's not just a matter of start doing better. It's not just a matter of start doing better. It's a matter of confessing what you've done wrong. Too many of us, you know what the problem with some of us is? Let's just get real honest with each other. We're about to the end of the message, and I might as well go ahead and make you mad before we leave. Truth is, folks, some of us, we get out of church. We say bad things about the pastor. We say bad things about the church membership. I mean, we just get all out of shape about things, and we leave the church, and out there we badmouth the church, the things of God, my friend. We badmouth all that, and then we come back, and we get under conviction, and we come, and we start doing better. We got a problem. We still got that sin that's unconfessed. That's the reason some of us, we get back in, and it's not long till we get back out. Why? We still got that sin. We're still carrying around that load of sin with us. Maybe no one else knows it, but God does. And God wants us to deal with that sin. That's the reason he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. If we'll confess our sins, you can count on God to do his part. But the problem is not God. The problem is we will not confess our sin. And so we come and we, Lord, help me. Lord, I want to do better. And we get up and we start doing better. And it's not long till we're out again. Why? We had all that load with us while we was in here trying to fellowship, trying to walk in the light. We still carrying around darkness with us. What we need to do is come to God. Now listen, we don't have to go to everybody in the church and say, would you forgive me, would you forgive me? It ain't a bad idea. And it's according to what you have done. Sometimes you need to do that. Amen. And you say, well, I don't know. If you're really serious with God, it won't bother you. It's just like coming forward and receiving Christ as your Savior. It may be a bother at first, but once you do it, you say, praise God, I'm sure glad I did it. Amen. Well, what we need to do is just what the Scripture says, confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're maintaining that joy. Amen. We got to work at it, folks. We got to say no to sin and yes to the Lord. Amen. We got to work at it. Amen. Then I notice in the Scriptures also in Psalms chapter 85, verse 6, we're maintaining the joy. He says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? David is saying, Lord, we've been revived, but we've lost that revival. Lord, will you revive us again? Why? That we may rejoice. What's David saying? He's saying, this is not just David now. This is Israel. He's saying, we've lost that joy. Amen. Will you revive us again? That's what revival is about this week, is us realizing I've lost that joy or fellowship. It works out to be the same. I've lost that. Oh, I long for that. And this week has been about that. And some of you have already come back and you've confessed it to the Lord. And you know what? I can tell by the expression of your faces, some of you have really gotten victory. Amen. I mean, you can tell because you come into church, you're all bubbly. Amen. I don't mean on anything. I mean you're bubbly in the Lord. That joy is just flooding your soul and you're so excited, just praise God. I'm being honest with you. I hate to see tonight come and go. I've seen God do some work here this week. This is not just evangelist talk. This is the truth. Amen. I've seen God do some wonderful things this week in the hearts of people. I mean, just watching you as you react to the Holy Spirit of God, what He's telling you to do, as you react to Him, it's been wonderful. Amen. You know what's happening? You've been getting that joy back. That fellowship has been restored between you and your Heavenly Father. Boy, when you get along with Him, you can get along with everybody else. But if you don't have things right with Him, you ain't going to get along with friends or spouses until you get along with Him. When you can get things right with Him, all this other will fall in place. We must maintain this joy. We've got to work at it. You say, well, what do we do, Brother Danny, after revival is over? Just keep doing what you've been doing during revival. Amen. I mean, you know what to do? The meeting ends tonight. You know what you need to do? Come tomorrow to the picnic. We're going to have a party tomorrow. Amen. I'm going to have myself a ball. Amen. I don't, even if it's raining, I'm going to have myself a time. I've been here enough to know we're going to have some good food. The Baptist is coming out in me now. Forgot all about the Lord. I'm just talking about the food. Amen. But I'm going to have myself time. Then you know what we need to do? Even though we have the picnic tomorrow, and that means that's really the stamp of this thing is over with, need to come back to church Sunday morning. Amen. Why? Because it helps you maintain your joy. It keeps you from darkness. It keeps you walking in the light. Be here Sunday nights. We have Jubilee time. Hallelujah. Singing, and more singing. You ought to like that. Won't have to put up no preaching. Amen. Going to have a time. And then you know what you ought to do? Come next Wednesday night when this thing is really over with. I mean, now it's behind us. Even this celebration time, you ought to be back in church. What are you doing? I'm just doing what Christians are supposed to do. Maintaining my joy. Just staying where God can just bless me. And where God, me and God just fellowship. And 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, you know where we ought to be found? On a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? In church. Why? Just maintaining the joy. You say, well, Brother Danny, that's the problem. Y'all want us to come all the time. Whoa. You mean you don't want to come all the time? Shame on you. There's something wrong with your relationship between you and your God. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He looked forward to it. He knew this is where you could maintain that joy, that fellowship. He said, I like it. I believe he got a little loud every once in a while. I know he danced for the Lord. You don't want to see me cut a rug, do you? Amen. God sure is good, folks. He likes to see His children laugh and enjoy. Amen. I don't know about these solemn services all the time, unless they're funerals, and then if I'm doing it, we still going to have a laugh every once in a while at the expense of who it is we're doing it for. Amen. God saved me to make me a happy people, not to be boring, a stiff neck. No. That ain't the reason God saved me. That I might have fellowship. If I'm fellowshipping with Him, everything's going to be okie-dokie. Amen. But let me ask you a question tonight before you can maintain your joy and fellowship. Do you have salvation? Are you saved? Because if you're not saved, you have no joy and fellowship to maintain. And you can't get that before you get salvation. Salvation is free. You don't have to maintain it. We've already said it. But it's free, and God wants to give it to you. Jesus came, He said, to seek and to save that which was lost. You say, well, that's not me. Oh, but the Bible says, for all have sinned. What does that mean? That means we were all lost. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, listen to me. All you got to do is come. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And it's not just saying, oh God. A lot of folks says that different times in their life. It's according to what's happening in their life, whether they stumped their toe or got mad or an accident was about to happen, and they say, oh God. It's not talking about that. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's talking about, if you look in Romans chapter number 10, verse number 9, he says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You keep following the scriptures there, and what he's talking about is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we must believe that. And then by faith we ask him to come into our heart and save us. And when you do that, you really mean that in your heart. God will save you. He said He would, and He's not a liar. And the Bible says that He faileth not. And He'll save you. And when He saves you, He'll bring with that salvation joy. You don't pray for it. It comes automatically. Fellowship comes automatically. Amen. But you got to maintain those things, but not the salvation part. Amen. My friend, tonight, what you need to do is come. Just find your spot. Pastor's going to be standing up here in a minute. The reason he's going to do that, because you might need a little help in this area and say, I don't really know exactly what to do. I've been told, and boy, we've been told some off-the-wall stuff, hadn't we? What you need to do is forget what we've been told. What he's going to give you is what God says out of his word. That's God's salvation. Amen? Not the church's salvation, but God's salvation. So you come and do it God's way. Amen. And so you come tonight and you might tell him, say, hey, preacher, I want to be saved. And he'll show you in the Word of God. Or if it's a lady, one of the ladies will get you and they'll help you. My friend, that's what we're here for. We want to be a help to you. Amen. Boy, what a precious thing to be able to tell somebody about Jesus and show them in the Word of God how that they too can be saved. Whoa! Excuse me, I get excited about it because I was lost. And someone took the Word of God and showed me how to be saved. Woo, glory to God, I'm so excited. Even today, after being saved since 1969, I still get excited about it. And you come and you trust Jesus as your Savior. Some of you are already saved, but that joy is not there. The fellowship has been broken between you and God. Why? Your sin has separated you from God. That's what the Bible says. And what you need to do tonight is come and confess to the Lord. Lord, I know I'm your child, but I've sinned. God, would you forgive me? And God's answer always to that is, yes, forgiven. Amen. So why don't you do this tonight? Let's obey the Lord tonight. Everyone standing. Miss Pam's going to come and sing for us tonight. As you stand to your feet, my friend, we're going to have a word of prayer. Pastor's going to be up here. You come tonight. If you need help, you come. We're here to help you. And if you just need God and you don't need any help getting to Him, you come on and get to Him. Amen. And Christian, you come just because you can tonight. The devil says you can't do it. Well, you've been every night. Listen to me. You can come again tonight and get that help that we need. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. Oh, Lord, thank you for grace tonight. God, it amazes me that I can stand up here and preach these things knowing, Lord, where I came from. And yet, Lord, That's what you do for us sinners, is you save us and you forgive us and you don't bring it up before us again. Thank you, dear Lord. And God, we just pray tonight, now, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts in this service tonight. Help those that are lost to come to be saved. Help the Christian tonight to come and, Lord, just to get things right, get a little closer, maybe even just to come and say thank you, Lord, for this week. And, Lord, I pray that they'll remember this, and then come Sunday when we have testimony time, that they'll stand and say, I just want to thank the Lord for what he's done in my heart and my life. Lord, would you just work in our midst tonight? We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's keep our heads bowed as Miss Pam begins to sing. Why don't you come tonight? Come on. Say, preacher, been about every night this week into the altar. Well, surely you don't want to stop now. Amen. I mean, surely you don't want to stop now. Hadn't it been good? Well, just keep it good. Don't stop it. Just keep it good. Hey, listen to me. God wants things to be good in your life. Would you come? The Lord tonight, you want him tonight, he'll save you.
People at the altar,
you need to get a little closer to the Lord tonight.